China and the United States have reached an agreement to return the crew of a U.S. spy plane after an 11-day standoff. China badly wants to host the 2008 Olympic Games. Conventional wisdom says that by delaying the crew's release, Beijing has hurt its chances. Commentator Frank DeFord isn't so sure.
On the surface, it would seem almost ludicrous that any sports event would play a prominent role in an international dispute between arguably the two most dominant nations on Earth. But there is no question but that the Olympics matter that much to China. The Chinese lost the 2000 games by the slimmest of margins because, essentially, Australia, a democracy, knew how to play good old-fashioned pork barrel politics better than its unsophisticated communist rivals. Effectively, Sydney got the Olympics because it bribed a few poor third-world nations that otherwise might have been inclined to naturally side with China. Fool me once, blame on you. The Chinese want to make sure nothing derails their new bid for Beijing for the 2008 Games. My own view is that whatever happens in the current dispute can only help Beijing's chances, especially any saber-rattling from red-baiting congressmen threatening to damage Beijing's Olympic candidacy will only backfire. The International Olympic Committee members are an independent bunch of cusses, and already the United States is not very popular in that precinct. The Atlanta Games were viewed as tacky and grubby, and Salt Lake City showed poor taste in opening the window to the world on how corrupt the IOC truly was. How dare we air the IOC's dirty laundry? If the United States is against Beijing, then for many IOC members, that may be all the more reason to vote for Beijing. The Sino-American dispute may even reverberate in the election of the new IOC president, who will finally replace the benighted Juan Antonio Samaran. The most qualified man to succeed the hypocritical old Spaniard is Richard Pound, a Montreal lawyer. Pound can be acerbic, and he's the ultimate insider, no innocent to Olympic shenanigans, but on merit, he's the obvious choice. Unfortunately for the Canadian, as a North American, Pound may be too American for many of the delegates. The winner might then be Jacques Rogge, a Belgian surgeon who stood up the United States in 1980 when we wanted our allies to boycott the Moscow Games. The other possibility is Kim On-young of South Korea, who is not only officially tarnished by scandal, but who has a background as a Korean spy and wheeler dealer that makes Samaran's fascist resume look downright benign by comparison. Yet, as Olympic winds blow, any sustained dispute between the big bully United States and an Asian nation is liable to enhance Kim's chances at gaining the prize, and that would be a disaster. But the Olympics have been enmeshed in politics at least since Hitler, and they are so seductive. Every city, no matter how glorious, seems to need the Olympics to somehow certify itself. Even New York, indisputably the first city of the world, yearns to obtain the 2012 Games, although just to be the U.S. candidate, it will have to top bids from Baltimore, Washington, Tampa, Orlando, Cincinnati, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. But that's 2012. For now, whatever develops with silly little issues like trade and human rights, probably the best thing that ever happened to Beijing's chances to host the Games in 2008 was when those two planes collided over the South China Sea.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.